Let's go.
Hello, welcome to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. It's Sunday morning here with the family. Isn't that nice to say, Dad? Isn't that nice? We all look forward to this Sunday morning.
Yes, mornings. We would never get together if I guess we can say four of us together.
It is. It's really nice. It's really yeah. Oh, yeah. Are we legal? We're family. That's okay. So a lot of action in the playoffs, Dad. And
last night?
I'm watching it. Yeah, I'm watching it. And I just have to ask you a question. I know that defenseman for the Leafs that blocked the shot, I know his intentions were good. But, I mean, why do they – what would you tell a defenseman like that, you being a defenseman? Like, what can you say?
Yeah, that was for the winner last night in overtime.
Campbell, let me put it this way to you. If Campbell had seen that shot, he'd have had it in his hip pocket, as they say.
Well, don't they teach you that in minor hockey?
Well, they teach it. I'm not going to mention our defense or anything like that. But our defense never blocked a shot. Very rarely blocked a shot.
The Bruins were ours.
You know, let me just tell you about the time, and I've told this story before. Is that I think this will explain it pretty good. And so a reporter looked and he saw that Jerry Cheevers, our goaltender, asked. He said, "Well, you played behind Don Cherry. What kind of a defenseman he was?" Well, he says, "I can't say he was a good because he's the coach, eh?" So he thought a minute and he said, "Well, he let me see the puck. That there's no way." That would get by, that puck would have got by.
Well, just to go on to that a little bit, you remember, you told me the story that Cheevers, you played with Al Arbor in Rochester.
I was talking before. Well, I was going to say it was Al Arbor. Anyhow, well, I guess. And he was the best I ever saw at blocking shots. But he'd commit to blocking shots.
And let me say something about Al Arbor. As a little girl watching him play hockey, can you imagine blocking a shot with wearing real glasses? Like wearing glasses.
Like glass.
Like real glass you know. And
I think
he's
was the last guy to wear them.
And I can remember him going on the bench every time after a shift and wiping his poor glasses off. I felt so bad for him.
You know,
the
I'll tell you a funny story. You know,
we just might, go on and on.
I could go on and on. I remember Daryl coming to the bench. I had changed and I was on the bench at the end. And Daryl took Daryl's side, the right side. And Daryl stops it, you know, and he's, come on. And he's waving, he's cleaning his glasses. He's, come on, the guys are breakaway. And remember,
they must fog up, right?
I don't know what he did, but anyhow, he could block shots better than anybody I ever saw.
But you said that Cheevers wasn't happy with him sometimes.
No, and so I'm having a pop with Cheevers. And I said, boy, that he can really block shots. And I mean, he's, yeah. And I said to myself, I said, he doesn't seem happy. And he says, if it gets by him, it's in. And I thought to myself, that's right. If the puck gets by, if underneath him, it's in. And that's when I saw that let the goaltender see the puck. There's no way that he would have scored on a Campbell.
So what would that poor defenseman do, though? He was sort of right in front of him. Does he
what
get
he should have done. Is gone, taking the body. And I taught, well, I didn't taught, but I mean, I could teach Ricky Smith or guys like that. But I wanted them to go out and not block the shot. They're going to block it. Do anything you want in the world, but don't let it go through you. Once it goes through you, now, last night, three out of the three goals were Price on the other end, too.
Yeah, both goals were tipped by him by the defenseman.
And, his own guys.
Yeah,
his own guys.
And Price, if he sees it, he'll stop it. Same as Campbell. They played terrific last night. What hurt them was their own defenseman. Don't stick your stick in the way. You know, just think about it. If you're a goaltender, you're concentrated on that guy coming in, and all of a sudden you see a stick go out. And doesn't have to hit the stick. Just to see the stick go up, it kind of throws you off a little bit. And there's no way you'd ever score on Campbell from there. There's no way.
Yeah, because when you saw it in slow-mo, the puck started to flutter.
It
was like a knuckleball.
And he's looking, where is it? And it's the same way. Don't, if you're going to block it, block it. Don't half block it.
So sometimes your defensemen can be your own worst enemies. Didn't Gump Worsley get sent down because of a quote like that that he said with the Rangers when he...
Oh, he did. Somebody asked him.
A reporter asked him.
He was playing for the Rangers.
Yeah.
And he says, what team gives you the hardest time? He says, the New York Rangers.
And he was gone.
Yeah, Phil Watson sent him down.
To you, wasn't it?
No, he sent that to a reporter.
I thought, didn't he send him down to Springfield? Wasn't he made your
team?
Well,
in Springfield, we seemed to be getting off. If you were a bad in the National Hockey League, if you were a bad guy or if you didn't get along with a coach, he'd send you to Springfield. It was like Devil's Island. You get sent to Eddie Shore. Guys actually had it in their contract. They couldn't be sent to Springfield. And I was at his absolute worst. 3.5 years I was there. And I guess that's where you toughened up and everything. And Brian Kilroy was there too. Brian liked him, believe it or not. And Brian Kilroy, and you know that Brian Kilroy scored the first goal of the Los Angeles Kings?
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's
and
a
he
good
asked.
Trivia.
And he asked to leave the National Hockey League. Yeah, he actually asked.
To go where?
To Springfield.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I don't know.
We'll get back to things. So the emergency rooms were filled last night with all the bandwagon jumpers jumping off and breaking their ankles with the Leafs. So everybody, this will be Monday morning with the show will air. So what's going to happen game 7, do you think?
I predicted, and I was asked who's going to win and I said Canadians. I think the Leafs will... I never saw a team running around in their own end like the Montreal Canadiens. It is unbelievable. Five guys over here. I mean,
that was your big thing when you coached. You didn't care what they did in the other team's end.
I'm going to tell John Bucyk how to score goals.
That's right. But boy, they did what they were told in your own end.
And the guys I had trouble with were Ricky Middleton. And at the end, he was one of the best. But not Terry O'Reilly. He was... And I remember I said to Peter McNabb, he says, how do you know what side he's playing on? Terry O'Reilly, he says, I feel sorry for the operator. I don't know what he's going to do, and I'm a centerman.
That was Peter. He says, I feel sorry for the opposition because nobody knows what Terry's going to do. He goes, I don't know what he's going to do. So, Dad, you've coached a lot of superstars, Phil and Bobby Brad Park and stuff. And boy, Marner and Matthews are in a slump.
Well, Matthews had 7 shots last night.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 7 shots. I don't know what's going on.
They don't look like they're having a good time, though.
When
you see them on the bench, they don't look happy.
Well, they're not scoring.
Well, he just doesn't seem right. Like Marner getting that puck, killing the penalty. With nobody around him, flipping it into the stands.
That's a funny one. And I couldn't believe he did that. And he did it, and he knew right away.
As soon as he did it, yeah.
You know, I never used to, you know who started all that stuff? It was Cheevers. Jerry Cheevers, the goaltender for Boston Bruins, Hall of Famer. When he think the things were going, he just shoot it in the stands.
That's right.
Yeah. Just stop the play.
But there again, you never had, you say Marner or whoever, the superstars, killing the penalties. You never had your superstars killing the penalties.
No, I had specialists.
You had specialists. So there's a difference between you and them right now.
I don't understand why.
Why do they play those guys on the killing penalties?
Don't ask me. Marner plays the power play, plays the regular shift, and he kills penalties. So,
I mean, they must want their money's worth out of them.
I like that Kerfoot. What's his name? Kerfoot?
Kerfoot, yeah.
Yeah, he's
but like, do you,
he'd
do,
be great killing penalties.
Do you just got to keep playing those guys to death?
You got to. I predict that Matthews will get a goal the next time. You better get a call because so far it hasn't worked out so good so far.
No, so you're picking Toronto. So
I'm picking Toronto
in the tonight. Well,
I picked Toronto right from the start. Yeah. And
but as you say, the wild card is Price. He just might say
if Price says,
"Let me see the puck. Don't tip it by me. It will be okay."
If you just let him. Because if he sees it, he'll stop it.
Would a goalie say that to his defenseman? Say, give me a break.
You have to be very careful. You talk to, You notice the defenseman, and it tipped in. You notice Campbell didn't say anything to Bochy. No, I didn't. Better
Bogosian.
Yeah, I didn't want to say his name, but he.
Well, everybody has on the news, so.
Yeah, I don't like to say the guy's name because he tried his best, and it just ticked him a little bit.
So a goalie won't say anything to his defenseman.
No. Might if he's having a beer, I might say, look, let me see the puck. But two went in off, like we said earlier, two went in, Price went off the defenseman.
One thing I noticed, and you'd like this because you're in the goalies, like you look at Campbell and all the other goalies, they drink out of a normal Gatorade bottle, and then they spray it all over themselves, right?
Yeah.
And Carey Price uses it like a little straw.
Because he's got manners. And plus, you know what? He mustn't like being wet underneath his mask. Like, that's, grosses me out.
He's the only goalie that does that.
Is he?
Yeah, no, thinks that.
But who wants to get their face all wet when you're underneath the mask?
Cold water wakes you up, right?
Yeah, wakes you up.
Oh, it gets you all wet.
I know, it doesn't look like, but they're roasting in there, and then they get...
Dell, when he played goal, his mother told him, I said, Dell, after they score on you, don't take a drink of water, because it's a sign that you're upset. And all this. It's because it's a habit, right, Dad? Because they're not really that thirsty. They can't be that thirsty.
I don't know.
It's a habit.
I know we were thirsty.
Yeah, but a goalie every time.
I remember, it's a funny thing. We were taught not to drink water. I mean, it's hard to believe.
Well, there wasn't water on the bench.
No, there was no water on the bench. How ridiculous. I mean, that.
And then they wonder
why we were taught right from junior.
And then they wonder why you guys went out after the game drinking. I mean, really. I mean, talk about having to replenish your...
Guys used to lose 8 pounds in a game. You go to Hershey, it would be hot in there. You'd have the big, heavy sweaters on. You'd lose. And anyhow.
So just another quick question. We'll talk about the Jets. Let's just talk about Edmonton and the Jets because that series will be starting soon. So... Paul Maurice, would you be happy that you've had this long?
No, we had a bye. I remember we had a bye. We were in first spot. They used to have a bye then if you were in first spot. And I did everything. I took money off them. I said, bet, and I had games. You lose a little something. It's going to take a while for Winnipeg to crank it up again. If they could have gone in 2-3 days later, it would have been perfect. He'll go, anything. But how long have they been off now?
Well, it'll be over a week now.
Yeah.
Because they swept, and they started, so at
you
least...
You lose that little... Yeah.
So no scrimmages can ever equal a game,
no matter what. You try your best. I did best. I took $50, and you know how cheap hockey players are.
They're East-West games.
The East-West games, and we had referees. I had a referee, you know, and the linesman didn't do any good. You lose a little something, so whoever plays... And Toronto will be playing them. And it'll be tough. Winnipeg, because it'll take Winnipeg a little longer to get the rust off, and it did us.
Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, spreads.ca.
I know. How do you say that?
Spreads, spreads.ca.
Yeah.
And they're first... Nation's own casino and sports book. And if you enter the promo Grapes, you can get 25 spins on the big wheel and they'll match your what your deposit is up to $500. And then your first sports bet, they'll do $25.
Boy, that's pretty good.
And I always like, I don't care if you have $2 or $5 on a game, it always makes the game that much more interesting. So it's interesting to see at the beginning of the year and the beginning of the playoffs, who's going up and down to win the cup. And Boston was about fifth to win the cup favored, and now they're second. And boy, they look good last night against the Islanders.
They look good. The Islanders, I mean, let's face it, the shots were 40 to 22. And somebody asked me, I think you asked me who the hockey player I liked the best, and I said Bergeron. You know, and I mean, and let me just give you Bergeron last night. They won 5-2, and let me just give you Bergeron last night. Bergeron last night, Pastrnak got the 3 goals, but let me ask. He got two assists. He got 2 assists. He was a plus hockey player. He played 20 minutes. He killed the penalties, and he played the power play. He had 8 shots. This is Bergeron. and he won 13 of 18 faceoffs. I mean, this guy, he is the hockey player. He is the hockey player, and make no mistake about it, I think he's the best hockey player in not McDavid. I mean, McDavid's in another world. But if you just want an ordinary hockey player, and by the way, I like to say from Orangeville, Ontario, Richie, they had a bench penalty, and he served the penalty. He got out of the penalty box and went directly in front of the net, and that's where the winner went in, McAvoy. But and there's no way McAvoy would have scored if Richie hadn't have been in front of the net, so I just put him in.
Yeah, so do you think that line is the best line right now?
They call that the perfection line, and it is the perfection line.
So who's on it again?
Pasternak. And, you know, by the way, Pasternak, they asked him, you know, I mean, he gets 40 goals every year. I think he gets 140. And they said to him, you know, guys that score the way you score are making $10 million. He said, when I was a kid growing up in Czechoslovakia, where I think that's where he comes from, or someplace over there, and he said, if I was making $6 million a year, which is pretty good, but he said, I'd be happy, and which is pretty good. You know, I mean, most guys, when they get goals, they want $10 million. You got to take a haircut when you go to the Bruins. And the Bruins don't make as much as the rest because they want to play in Boston. And if you don't put it out in Boston, you're gone. And
Well, it just really is amazing to see, like, Richie, let's face it, he was kind of a bust in Anaheim.
Yeah.
And he goes to Boston, and he's scoring goals. He's playing the power play.
Nice
you know,
shot.
You move him in front of the net. He was kind of running at Wilson in that Capitals game. They had a thing going. You look at Taylor Hall, had two goals in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Comes to Boston. First two games, I think he scored three goals.
Yeah, he won't leave Boston.
So can I ask then, who is the brains then behind Boston? Like, is that
Sweeney Don, and whoever it is.
Sweeney and Cam Neely.
Yeah.
Most players want to play in Boston. I don't know what it is, but most players want to play in Boston. I don't know.
Do you find if they have a person in management that actually played for the actual team that they're managing, does that make a difference? Like, you look at Cam Neely, he kept the tradition going from being a player.
Well, I remember we used to bring guys into us that never. Well, I'll bring Dennis O'Brien. I remember Harry coming to me and he says, are you nuts? You want Dennis O'Brien? He couldn't play for Minnesota. He couldn't play. He played for four teams in 1 year. And I said, yeah, I want him because I knew he'd do what he was told. And sure enough, he did. And
tell us that story about him, you and him having a meeting about the game plan.
So he came, we were in Philadelphia, and he says, well, Grapes, would you tell me the story, you know, what your plan is?
A game plan.
I says, I'll meet you in the bar tonight because you have a couple of beers. It's not the same as if you call them in the office, they're a little afraid. It's like when you were a kid, you were calling the principal's office, you were afraid. So I said, what's the game plan? I says, give me that napkin. And I said, you see here, you're here. Here's the guy. I said, just put it off the glass. He says, that's the story. Just put it off the glass. That's all you have to do. And everybody wants to play in Boston, I think, anyhow.
But that was something to see the crowd last night.
You know, it's funny. You see the crowd last night. They must sell, the pro there, shop there must sell. Everybody had a Bruins sweater on.
Yeah, I didn't see anybody without a sweater. I was going to ask you, go back to the Toronto-Montreal thing for a minute. So, you know, Montreal, was 2,500 people. And they let the tickets out. And they must have given them to, had certain people.
Yeah.
And then those people put them online. They were going for, $2,000-$3,000 a ticket. And you saw how there was a lot of people with Maple Leafs. With Toronto sweaters on. If I was a Montreal, would you not be a little mad if you were Montreal Canadiens organization? So you let 2,500 people in, and there's a whole bunch of Maple Leaf fans?
But you know what? It's funny thing is, when you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, and when I was with Hockey Night in Canada, we'd go to Vancouver. We'd go to any place you went. The crowd was always for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't ask me why. And I remember Harry Neal. He says, if you like Toronto so much, why don't you go back there? And he was mad. Because every time they'd score, there would be a bigger crowd. And even in Montreal, believe it or not, when they'd score, the big crowd, they just loved the Leafs.
I remember there was a guy from Vancouver. They were playing the Leafs, and they asked the Vancouver guy, they said, "What's your game plan?" And he said, "We got to get a goal early and get the crowd out of the game."
That was in Vancouver.
That was in Vancouver.
I don't know. The people in Ontario, they all somehow... Yeah, I would be ticked off if I was Montreal. And it was supposed to be Montreal fans, and they were all Toronto
fans. But
it was
funny, though. You saw 2,500 there, and then you saw the Bruins. They had 70. They had just under a sellout. They had, because you can't have people behind the bench. But you're right. I think everybody had a sweater on. But
it was unbelievable.
Yeah, they said it was really loud too. So it was.
Oh, they did.
So you think Boston, the Islanders? Do they have a chance? The Islanders?
I think no, the Islanders don't have a chance. I mean, they what they do is that Barry Trotz, he's pretty smart. He keeps his shots down as much as he can. He plays it tight. He plays a tight game.
Yeah.
And
but boy, they were hitting last night.
Oh, hitting and banging and smashing. That's one thing the Leafs don't do.
No.
The Montreal Canadiens out hit them 2-1. And you know, Montreal is not a little weak club, and or seemed to be little.
Yeah. Well, the Leafs are second last in hits. So
plus
Colorado.
Colorado. But I just say,
it's tough to hit when you have the puck all the
time.
Yeah,
that's true. You're tough to hit. And I'd still say Colorado's going to win there.
Well, let's just talk about that. Colorado and Vegas, to me, this is for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that's the Stanley Cup. Whoever wins that wins the Stanley Cup. I mean, it seems a shame that one of those good teams. It was like Washington and Boston.
Well, they're 1-2 in the standings this year.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but it just seems a shame that one of them is out. It doesn't seem fair. Oh well, nothing I can do about it.
But like that, and it's close. Like there, I think
that would be a great
Colorado
series.
Won the season series like 4-3, but I think there was like one goal difference between all the games, and I think the shots
series.
Were even. So. But, you know, like you always said, it comes down to Fleury and Grubauer, the two goalies.
And Grubauer's playing pretty good. Yeah. And say again how Grubauer learned his hockey.
Yeah, we said last week Grubauer, he was from Germany, and he wanted to play hockey, but he couldn't get any games, so his dad sent him Rock'em Sock'em VHS tapes, and he watched.
And you produced them.
Felix Potvin, and he said that was his goalie that he liked to watch.
Kind of plays like him a little bit, too.
Yeah. So... And I'm sure he enjoyed the Felix Potvin. And if you remember clips in doing the Rock'em Sock'em, I think the one clip I remember is Felix Potvin and Ronnie Hextall, that fight.
Oh, that was Ronnie Hextall. Yeah. Boy, there's Pittsburgh. You know, all they need is a goalie. They outshot Pittsburgh gone.
The Islanders, their goalie didn't.
He didn't play well. Jerry. I think his name is Jerry, I think. Pierre Jerry. Anyhow, he didn't play very good.
Oh, you don't mind mentioning the goalies when they don't play good, but you don't mind. You don't want to mention defenseman.
But
pick on the goalies.
I think that Anderson's up, and I think that Brian Burke will get Anderson. All he needs is a goaltender. I would have a long talk with Crosby too, because he's got to be a little discouraged. They outplayed them, and the goalie let him down. Yep.
So Vegas Avalanche, who are you going to pick?
I'm still going with Colorado.
Man,
Colorado to me is McKinnon is unbelievable. Yeah. Like he seems to be bigger than anybody. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, he seems like not as tall, but he seems like he's about a foot wider than everybody.
He gets a puck, you can't get it off him.
No, that'll be a good series though. But that's in both of them.
Well, we're not interested in them. We're interested in Toronto in the seventh game. A seventh game, and. If I had money, I'd put on Toronto on that game.
All right. Well, I'll bet $10 on spreads. Right. So that, again, everybody knows this. We do this Sunday morning. So tomorrow is Memorial Day in the United States.
Yes. And when I was living in Rochester, I was a City of Rochester pipe band, and I was a tenor drum. And I remember my very first march. I guess it was March. I twirling them around. And the sticks went right up in the air. And I remember running back and Whitey, my friend Whitey Smith, Captain Whitey Smith, he was laughing at me. And the tenor drum is a lot different than an ordinary drum. You have to swing your leg. I know it's hard to in the radio. But my leg would be coming up and the drum would be coming down.
Tenor drums were more for showing off.
Yeah, we were showing off.
But you were the ones, the tenor drum's the one that you do all the fancy stuff with the stick work. Yeah. And I can remember your mother, my grandmother, would knit those crochet, I should say, the little tassels that went over the end of the drumsticks.
It was four of us, show off. But I tell you, it took me a long time to get...
You practice and practice and practice.
Remember dogs would bark at us.
I remember practicing at home and you had to wear gloves because you would wear out your
white
skin.
Gloves, yeah.
Remember you practiced so much that you had blisters on your hands and it were bleeding and you had
to
wear.
And all of a sudden it came to me, boom.
It was. It was something to see the way you used to do it. I used to try.
I remember the dogs used to bark. I used to play. And I could not get it. I remember one time. We were marching in Buffalo, and the bass drummer. All the bass drummer goes boom, and I took it to Kodak, and I had Whitey paint the rampant lion on it, and it said it fresh.
That's the big drum that is in front of you, the huge drum,
great
that
big drum,
boom boom.
So I took over and I carried it, and I was really banging, and. And I looked over at the snare drum, you know, and he kept looking at the drum, and there was all red stuff all over the place. And I thought, oh, Whitey, I wonder why my friend Whitey not put good oil paint on it.
Paint was dripping.
And at the end, there was a great big hole in my glove, and the blood was coming out of my finger. It was all over the boy. I tell you. That when you were playing those pipe bands, and I remember the pipe major saying to me, someday you'll go into another world. And I remember it happened to me for about 30 seconds. I was in East Rochester, and we were really playing well, Cock of the North, Bonnie Dundee, and Scotland the Brave and all that. We only played six good tunes. And I actually went into another world. We had two pipe majors, Dick Rentoul. He was about 6'5", and with the bonnet on top, we were the richest band in the world. There's no band getting money. We used to get $200 a parade.
Well, plus people don't in the States, boy, parades are so much bigger in the States. And all the bands were in competition. So you would go into these and you would also win.
Yeah.
The band would win the competition who was the best band and you get money for that. So people you had the red tunics, you didn't have the little khaki shirt had the really hot and it was they were heavy wool those red tunics with
march right to the beer tent
your Congorum
go right to the beer tent
it was and you had the huge
and
hats.
I remember the 48th Highlanders, they were great. They used to come on, you know, they were a great band. We were just a street band, but we looked good.
Yeah,
and we used to get our bonnets, big ostrich feathers, used to come down halfway down. The rest of the people used to
and
get
off. Spats.
We look good. Anyhow, Memorial Day.
We always think of your friend, Whitey Smith.
Captain Whitey Smith.
We talked about him before, but he started as a buck private, and he had field commissions all the way up to captain.
Yeah, he in combat.
So which means everybody who was in front of officers in front of him were killed.
I think he started in South Africa, or in Africa.
North Africa, he fought Rommel.
Yeah, he fought Rommel, and then they made his way up to...
He went to Sicily.
Sicily.
He went up to Palermo, then crossed over into Italy, and went all the way up to Mount Cassino. And I think that was...
He had 10,000 men underneath him. 10,000.
He was a real leader.
He was a real leader.
How much did you and him talk about the war?
You know, we talked about the war, and I said, wait. You know, we'd have a few beers, and I said, "Do you ever shoot anybody?" You know, shooting. He's I said, "Did you really?" You know, and you would never say. You'd only talk about the good thing. And then after the war, he came back. You know, I'll tell you a story. One more story I'm going to tell you about Whitey. That he was all set to come back, say on the 2nd, and a priest came to him who was a good friend of his, and he said, "Whitey," he said, "this kid has got to go home. If he doesn't go home, he's having a nervous breakdown, And Whitey says, well, I want to get home too. He says, Whitey, if this kid doesn't get home, he said, he's going to have a nervous breakdown. He's having it right now. So Whitey let him go in his spot. And he had to wait another 2 months. He was a great guy, Whitey. He was a good friend of mine. And anyhow,
he came home and
he came home. He couldn't get a job.
Unbelievable. So
couldn't,
sad.
And he put in for the War Memorial there. And they said, we don't know if you can handle the men. He had 10,000 men under it. And he started. He had to start it as a laborer and worked his way up.
And again, he worked his way up in Kodak. Yeah, ended up being the boss, right?
Yeah, he sure was. Well, he was one of the... He was
high up.
I remember there was one kid, I never forgot his name. And he was a college kid, you know, and everything. And he didn't like the job. And he says, why don't you come in and pick the job you'd like? Oh, I could tell you stories about Whitey. We'd get into a lot of trouble if we did. But he was a great guy. He was my best friend.